the book of Jude, any chapter you want. Verse 11. Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. I'm wanting to talk today about the way of Cain. And it's a little bit of a mystery because here in this verse, Jude is pronouncing a woe, a curse to a bunch of people who have gone off in their doctrine and gotten bad in a lot of ways. They still call themselves Christians, but they are around. They're in the church. They're deceiving people. They've taken them off into lasciviousness and bad doctrine. It talks about them being filthy dreamers and they despise dominion. And he mentions a bunch of things and then he pronounces this threefold curse upon these people. And you know, don't be upset at Jude for being ready to fight. God didn't call preachers just to be patsies and always, you know, hug everybody and we all get together and have a kumbaya moment. That's not what pastors do. Pastors, in Jude says, earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's what Jude was doing. He was a little bit angry. He pronounced a curse. If you're going to a church and the preacher never gets a little bit angry about some things, well, maybe you need to pick up a different church and find some place where a preacher cares about truth, cares about the Bible, cares about people's souls. Well, that's what Jude was. He gets a little bit angry. He says, woe unto them. This is a preacher. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain. Now, there's three examples here of error. Cain is the one I want to deal with this morning, but it also mentions Balaam. And fortunately, right there in the context, it tells us what Balaam's error was. Balaam's error was he was greedy. He wanted reward. He wanted money. And Balaam kept on going after trying to curse the people of Israel, even though God said, you're not going to curse them. He kept on trying to do that because he just wanted all that reward that the king was offering him. And God said that was an error. And he says these people have that same error. The error of Balaam. Woe unto them. They went the Balaam's way. And it was because they wanted money. And there's an awful lot of that going around today. People wanting money. And they're willing to change things and do things wrong and not teach the truth and avoid certain subjects for money. A lot of preachers that way. A lot of Christians that way for money. Watch out. Watch out for money. Watch out for loving money. Then the next one is Kore. And here right in the context, it tells us what the problem with Kore is also. He says he was the gainsaying of Kore. Now, gainsaying is not an archaic word, but it's not one we use an awful lot lately. It still means exactly what it meant back then, and it means against saying. Saying against. It means arguing, disputing, disagreeing, not being in agreement with God's word, not being in agreement with what God has pronounced. And that's what Korah did. He stood up against Aaron and Moses and said, we don't want to follow your way. We want to also have our say. And they disagreed with them, and even though Moses had God's word. And so they were disagreeing with God's word, and that's a huge error. Woe unto them! There's an awful lot of people nowadays calling themselves Christians who are not following God's words. They don't care about God's words, and in fact, they stand up and disagree with God's words. Woe unto them! Woe unto them! They're going to lose. They're going to lose big time. They're going to lose even in this life because they haven't been in agreement with God's word. Now, that's a problem. And those are clearly mentioned in the context, and we understand what they're talking about. But the way of Cain is not explained in the context. He didn't say the way of Cain, which is such and such. And I look in the book of Jude, and I don't see it explained. What's the way of Cain? What is Cain? I know what Cain did. I mean, Cain killed his brother, right? And Cain was a rather innovative in his religious ways. And so we can find some errors of Cain, but it's not just an error that he made. There's an attitude. There's a way of thinking. They've gone in the way of Cain. This is Jude's curse on these people, says they've gone in the way of Cain. And it makes me think, all right, what is the way of Cain that they did? And so I go back to Genesis chapter 4, and I just read what we know about Cain. Now, the Apostle John also mentioned that Cain was a murderer, and the reason why he killed his brother was because his works were evil. And that's basically what I already knew about Cain. Cain's works were evil, and that's why he killed his brother. But I want to get a little bit deeper into what the way of Cain is, and so I'm going to point out some things that I think Cain did that made his that made him the example that Jude wanted to point out here. Look at Genesis chapter 4. I'll go ahead and start reading from verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, on the east of Eden. Now this is the story of Cain. This is basically all we know about Cain. And this is where we get the story. It's a tragic story. A tragic story, because in one fit of anger, Adam and Eve lost their two sons, one to death and the other to banishment, one to death, one to a violent, tragic death, and the other to a life of being a fugitive and running away from God and running away from people and being fearful. And this is a tragedy. And a whole lot of parents have seen tragedies like this. These aren't the only ones that have done that. And if you're a parent, yeah, I just want you to know it's possible. It is possible for you to see some tragedy. And you know, you're going to have to just make up in your mind that this is the consequence of sin and that you've got to follow God anyway. There's sometimes you just can't demand from God that he make everything hunky-dory like you want. Sometimes things are going to go the way you don't want. And especially when it's somebody else's will, children have a tendency to break their parents' hearts. And if you expect that your children are going to be perfect, you're probably going to be disappointed. You're probably going to find out that they will break your heart and that they will make some very dumb, and sometimes these dumb mistakes that they make will cost them for the rest of their lives and cost you. This is what happened to Adam and Eve. I don't blame Adam and Eve. I mean, they did sin and they caused a problem because of that. But, you know, the truth is all of us parents are sinners and all of us parents make mistakes. And apparently you children are going to have to take responsibility for your own actions and your own decisions. And even if you had bad parents, you're still going to be the one accountable for your decisions once you're grown. We might give you a few months of leeway to make some dumb decisions and blame it on your parents. But after a few months, you're just going to have to say, okay, this is my life now, and I'm going to have to make my own right decisions. And then you're going to have to live with your decisions that you make. You can't blame your parents for everything that goes bad in your life. Sometimes perfect parents have had horrible kids. And sometimes horrible parents have had almost perfect kids. And it's an amazing thing how that works out. But just to let you know, God holds children accountable. God holds children responsible for their own decisions. And so you are responsible. I just want to point out a few things here. We know about Cain. We know Cain at first, he came and he brought an offering that was not according to God's method. He brought an offering that had not been brought before. I mean, God killed animals in the Garden of Eden to cover Adam and Eve's nakedness. He killed animals. Well, there was a good example he could have followed. And Abel apparently caught on to how it should be done, and he killed an animal and offered the blood to God, and God liked that. But Cain had a better idea, and so he brought a different kind of an offering. And I'm going to tell you, that's a huge mistake. It's not one of the ones I'm really wanting to deal with now, but it is a huge mistake to be innovative in your religion and think you can just offer God any old thing that seems good to you. Because what is as highly esteemed in the sight of men is abomination to God. God doesn't like the way you think. In case you haven't noticed, God doesn't like your innovations. He doesn't like your religious thinking. He wants you to do things His way. And His way is not really so much about rationality and making sense. His way is trying to point to Jesus Christ. That's what all of His way is. He's trying to point to the real solution for sin, and that's Jesus Christ. That's why He had lambs killed. Not because lambs are a lot more work or less work than raising vegetables, but vegetables just don't point to Jesus the way a lamb does. And God calls Jesus the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so from the very beginning, He killed the lambs. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Bible says, was Jesus Christ. And when Adam and Eve had to be covered, He killed those lambs and He covered them with the skins. And that said something to God. It pleased God to see how it was going to be the solution to people's sins. And it's an amazing thing that God had a solution even from the very beginning. And yet Cain didn't know all of that. Cain didn't realize what the significance was of the lamb that had to be slain. And so he had a better idea. He said, aren't my vegetables just as good as those lambs? Isn't my corn and isn't my all the stuff that I get out of the ground? I've got some good stuff here. And I bet he brought the best that he had. And he offered it to God. And God did not have respect to his offering. I got news for you. You got a religion with innovative thinking? You've got a really good idea. You say, hell is a pretty tough place. I don't think we deserve to go to hell. But heaven, you know, that's a pretty nice place, and we probably don't deserve to go to heaven. So let's invent a new place called purgatory, sort of in the middle, that we can all say, well, we kind of all deserve that. That makes a lot of sense, except God never said nothing about purgatory. And so you invent your new stuff, and you wind up finding out God's not going to respect your new religion. God's not going to respect your new way of doing things. And of course not. Of course not. That's not the error, though, that I want to point out in Cain. We also know the other error that he had toward the end where he just got a little angry. He overreacted, we could say. You ever overreact? Boy, I do that all the time. And I don't know why. I ask myself afterwards, I think, well, now, why did I react like that? I don't know why I did that. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, I ran that guy off the road, you know. No, not really, but maybe it counts for something that I did, you know, have some second thoughts over what I've done. But, you know, everybody seems to overreact on certain issues. And that was a mistake on Cain's part, and he probably should have gotten a little self-control before he lost his temper and killed his brother. Did you know sometimes you can make a decision in the heat of the moment that will cost you for the rest of your life and cost somebody else? Maybe you ought to slow down and say, you know, I'm going to have to think this over. That idea of counting to 10, that's probably a pretty good idea. Count to 10. Count to 10, 10 times. Do something. Don't react immediately. Why? Because you have a tendency to overreact. And there's Cain overreacting. There's Cain overreacting. He killed his brother. That's pretty bad. It doesn't get much worse. That's pretty bad. How are you going to justify yourself after that? Well, that's a rough one. But I don't want to deal with his failure in the sense that he lost his temper and rose up and killed his brother, nor even on the sense that he wasn't terribly repentant about it later, seemed to think that his brother may have deserved it. You know, he was always yapping on about the right way to do things, you know. Fundamentalist Christians can be a little bit obnoxious and irritating and annoying, and they just keep on. Don't kill them. Don't kill them. All right, I want to deal with four things that I'm going to call the way of Cain. And the reason why they're important to me is because I see it happening right here. Right here. The first thing that I think is the way of Cain, and it was his problem, and that is that he refused correction. Now let me tell you something. Cain made a mistake. But we all make mistakes. Mistakes part of life. You're a parent, your child's going to make mistakes. You don't have to spank them for spilling the milk. Let them make mistakes. Show them that it's okay. Show them it's all right. When they spill the milk, help them clean it up. It's going to be okay. Show them that there's a way to survive a mistake, even a serious mistake. Give them some. This was God. He says, hey, Cain, I don't like your sacrifice. And Cain overreacted. He was an overreactor. And his countenance was fallen. And he was wroth. Oh, man, he didn't like my... You know, it's like he had a right to give any kind of sacrifice he wanted. And I've got news for you. You don't have a right to give any kind of sacrifice you want. You can't just offer God any old thing. God's not going to accept it. And if God doesn't accept it, if the preacher tells you God's word says that won't work, well, don't get all angry. Don't get depressed. It's God saying, but we got a solution for that. Let me show you. You could take those same vegetables and you could go buy yourself a lamb, and then you could offer a lamb, and I'll accept it. If you do well, shalt thou not be accepted? Isn't that what God said? You see, God had a solution. It was a little bit of correction. It was, hey, you're going wrong here. You need to go this way. And all you got to do is say, okay, thanks for the tip. I appreciate that. I see now, and I'm gonna correct my ways. It's about receiving correction. Did you know that you need to receive correction? Amen. You're not always right. Amen. You're not always perfect. Amen. Sometimes you're going to, and let me tell you something else. You don't always know where you're wrong. Yes, sir. You don't always see what everybody else sees. You can't see the errors that you have because for some reason your mind has clouded them. You've got other ways of thinking, but somebody else sees your error, and I'm going to warn you about something. There's a difference between counsel and other kinds of counsel. Some people are not worthy of listening to. Like all your friends on Facebook, they might not be the way to go. That might not be where you ought to be getting your correction. But you know, you probably have some gray-headed people in your church. Maybe mom and dad, maybe grandpa. Maybe somebody could tell you, you're probably making a mistake here or there. And that's when you need to learn how to be corrected. You need to learn how to receive correction. Somebody's got to be able to say, you're wrong. You're not thinking straight. It's amazing, though, how young people, being all smart as they are, and they are smart. Young people are smart, folks. And you look at these old folks who cannot even handle a smartphone, and you think, how can that guy teach me anything? How can that guy show me anything? He can't even do trigonometry. And so it's hard for you to receive correction. It's hard. And also there's this pride thing. There's this pride thing. We sort of like, you know, we don't like to be. And I think that was Cain's problem. He had a little bit of pride there. And he says, look, I'm the firstborn. I'm the oldest. I ought to be the one that's, you know, pointing other people where their mistakes are. Don't let pride cost you your soul. Don't let pride cost you the ability to say, oh my, I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to change. Thanks for pointing that out, Abel. I appreciate that. You're a good younger brother. I appreciate your help because I was unclear about that. Why not? Why can't somebody come to you and say, hey, you're wrong? Why can't somebody, even a mama or a daddy, say, daughter, that's not a good idea. Don't do that. And I know it doesn't make sense. Of course it doesn't make sense. That's why you were making the mistake in the first place. You weren't thinking straight. And if you're not thinking straight, you don't know you're not thinking straight. It's just part of the way the game is played. If you're not thinking straight, you're not aware of it. But somebody else is thinking straight. They see things from a different point of view and they say, daughter, don't go that way. That's not a good guy. That's not a good career choice. That's not a good thing. Don't be doing that. That's not a good dress to wear. No, don't. That's not the way you ought to be. Son, no, don't be thinking that way. Don't be doing that. That's not a good friend. That's not a good way of being. Why can't a parent tell a child that? Why can't a pastor tell someone, you shouldn't be dressing like that? You shouldn't be working at that place. That's not a good spot. That's not a good way to be. Those aren't the right actions. Those aren't the right attitudes. Why can't somebody correct you? Did you know the way of Cain was? He says, I'm not going to be corrected by anybody. This is the way I believe, and I'm just not going to be changed. God says, I'm telling you how you can fix it. I'm giving you some information, and I haven't smoked in my anger. I didn't burn you to a crisp when you brought the wrong sacrifice. I'm giving you some correction. Did you know the Bible can give you some correction? Because you know, you can read the Bible and it'll say, hey, you're thinking wrong here. And the Bible knows. The Bible is God's Word. God gave us the Bible so that we can correct ourselves. He gave us the Bible so that we can aim ourselves better. So that we can say, oh, I didn't realize that was wrong. Now I realize it's wrong, and so I'm not going to do that anymore. That's what the whole point of the Bible is. So that God can correct your way of thinking. Well, why can't the Bible correct you? Why can't the Bible tell you what marriage is about? Why can't the Bible tell you what covetousness is? Why can't the Bible tell you how you ought to dress? I think the Bible ought to be able to tell you some things. I think you ought to be willing to be corrected. This was Cain's problem. This was his way. His way of thinking was, I'm not going to be corrected. I'm going to hang tough with my story, and this is where I'm going to stick right here. I'm not changing. This is the way I am. And I'm right to be mad, like Jonah. I have a right to be mad. Yes, I do. Do not refuse counsel. Do not reject correction. Let God teach you. Let God correct you. I guarantee you got some wrong thinking. I guarantee you're making some dumb mistakes, especially if you're young. If you're young, you're going to make mistakes. This is pretty normal stuff. But then when somebody points out your mistake, why don't you just accept some correction? Why don't you let somebody give you some wise counsel and straighten out your path and see if it doesn't just bless you like 100-fold? Whatever you lose because you didn't get to go your way, oh my, look how, if you read the first 8 chapters of Proverbs, it talks about all the wonderful things that happen when you listen to wisdom. When you let God and the fear of God direct your paths and change the way you think. This is the way God's saying. He's saying, don't be like Cain. You can't be corrected. You got to let the Bible correct you. That's the first problem. There's another problem that he had, and that is that he rejected accountability. And he did this more than once. He rejected responsibility. He even rejected accountability for having killed his brother. But you notice that even before he killed his brother, God had to tell him, if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You want to know where your problem is? It's not an innocent mistake, maybe. Maybe there's sin involved. Maybe there's sinful motivations. Maybe you have some evil in you. Evil. No, not innocent mistake. You know, maybe when you repent, you ought to stop saying about mistakes that you make and errors. Start talking about the evil that's in your heart and tell God you know what you really are, and you know that somehow you have evil thoughts and you have evil motivations and you have evil desires. You know, Jesus told those people, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts. Did you know evil people can give good gifts to their children? Evil people. But Jesus said they were evil. Boy, talk about letting the air out of your balloon. You're going and talking to Jesus and he says, you're evil. Evil? Where did that come from? I can see him saying that. Well, here's Cain saying, I'm not responsible for this. I'm not responsible to give the right kind of sacrifice. I'm not accountable if I give the wrong kind of sacrifice. It's not really my fault. You hear that? I hear that a lot nowadays. It's not my fault. You know what the real problem is? I have ADHD. That's the real problem. The real problem is I have bipolar. And if you have bipolar, I'm sorry. I think I'm tripolar. I'm not trying to pick on you if you've been diagnosed bipolar. I'm just saying that's not the root of your problem. You got other problems beside these little things. You got ADHD, you got ODD, you got COPD. You got something. You got something that says it's not your fault. You see, you got that alcoholic's gene, don't you? You got that alcoholic's gene. You can't get over it. Can't help myself. This is the way I was born. You hear that a lot. I was born this way. So I can have sex with anybody I want. Why? Because I was born this way. No. No, 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 no. You are accountable. Did you know that even if you were born that way, you are accountable? You're accountable for the decisions you make. Let's say you were born that way. What does that have to do with anything? You still have to say, I'm going to obey God no matter what. It'd be easy for all of us to justify our sins. Amen. It'd all be easy. Man, we just go to a psychiatrist and he'll just say, there's no such thing as sin. Sin? There's no sin. What are you talking about sin? I was talking to an atheist one time and I said, well, I noticed that there's sin in babies. He said, sin in babies? What are you talking about? There's no sin in babies. Why? Because they want a lollipop? No, 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 no. I'm talking about evil. Little sinful, evil creatures they are. They're liars. They come out of the womb speaking lies, the Bible says. That's what they are. They are a bunch of liars. They are evil little children. And they grow up to be evil adults. But they mask it better when they're grown up. They like kind of like smooth it over. And then they got all kinds of excuses. They got all kinds of reasons for being the way they are. Reasons for lying. Reasons for being a false religious. Reasons for hypocrisy. Reasons for stealing from the government. That's right. Got reasons. Well, the government has no right doing this and the government has no right doing that. I got reasons. Sooner or later, you better start taking some accountability.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
Amen.
Someday, you're going to have to stand before God and explain those reasons to God.
Amen.
And God has that light that's so bright. I mean, it's bright. No darkness at all, the Bible says. And it kind of like shines right through you. You become very transparent and all your reasons begin to disappear. And all of a sudden they don't sound nearly as persuasive as they did when you were talking to your friends. Somebody patting you on the back and saying, it's okay. It's all right. It's not your fault. I don't know whose fault it is, but you're accountable. What God is trying to tell Cain is, if you don't do well, you're the problem. If you don't do well, sin is at the door. If you don't do well, you're the one who made the bad decision. It's not God's fault. Did you know that God has washed his hands of your sin? He said, I didn't lead you that way. I never taught you how to be a drunk. I never taught you how to get stuck on drugs. I never taught you how to be a fornicator. I never taught you how to be homosexual. I didn't teach any of that stuff, God says. Don't be laying that off on me. I didn't teach you how to lie. I told you the truth every time, even when it hurt me. I was honest. I fulfilled my obligations, even when it hurt. That's the way God is. You cannot blame God. Don't be blaming your parents either. Your parents didn't teach you that. Your parents didn't, well, maybe they did, but don't be blaming them anyway. You knew better. Maybe your parents did teach you how to lie. But you know better. You know better. Why are you not accepting responsibility for your own sins? For your own decisions? Why don't you just accept responsibility and say not only that you are responsible and you can't lay the blame on anybody else, not your parents, not God, not the government, not your genes. You can't lay the blame anywhere else, just on yourself. But not only that, you're going to have to give account. You're going to have to be responsible. You're going to have to take responsibility for all of your own decisions. Someday you stand before God, you're going to have to give an account of every idle word that you've said. Amen. And you might have to give an account of a bunch of secret things you didn't say.
Amen.
Every secret thing it says.
Amen, brother.
You know, people like to talk about how they're not all that bad. Yeah, what about all them secret things?
Amen. Amen, brother.
What about those things way down deep? What you thought and didn't say. And you thought you did real good, didn't you? But you thought it.
Amen.
You thought it.
Amen.
I don't cuss. Never got into the habit of cussing, but boy, I can cuss in my mind. I don't like it because I know sooner or later it's going to come out. I'm afraid of that. But boy, I'm telling you, it's in my mind. It's there. You got to take responsibility for what's on your mind. You got to take responsibility for what you've done, for what you've said, for the decisions you've made, for the way you raised your child, for what you said to God when his book said one thing and you didn't like it. Cain had a problem accepting responsibility. He refused to be accountable. All right, there's a third thing he did. He missed his opportunity. He missed it for sure. It's like he ignored it. Maybe he didn't even notice it. Maybe he was so busy fuming at God that he didn't hear what God was saying. Listen to what he said. He says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" He had an opportunity. He could have got it all straight. He could have said, "Ho, ho, ho, whoa, 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 God, would you say that again?" And God would have said it again. He would have said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" You mean, God, that if I were to come back tomorrow with the sacrifice that you say, that you would accept it? Yes, Cain, I would accept it. That's a huge opportunity. Did you know that God gives you more than one opportunity to get it right? That's the reason why you're not dead. How shall a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? He's still alive. How can a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? You can't complain. You're still alive. Even Cain was sitting here saying, "Oh, my punishment is greater than I can bear." His brother was dead. And his punishment was greater than he could bear? Seriously? Really? No, no, no. How can a living man complain for the punishment of his sins? God left you alive. You know what God says about that woman, Jezebel? He gave her space to repent. He gave her space. Now, he can't put up with that kind of junk. If he'd hung around too close, he probably would have smoked her to death. So he gave her space. He moved back to give her a chance. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Have you ever stopped to think about what the opportunity of repentance is? You can just go to God and say, "I'm sorry." Those are like magic words. Hey, listen, I'm not being facetious here. I'm not being silly. Those are like magic words. You say, "God, I'm sorry. I blew it. I messed up. I don't have any excuse. I don't even have a good reason. I don't have ADHD. I don't have any reason." Oh, let me tell you something. God says, "I'm going to give you an opportunity." This is called a do-over. In golf, they call it a mulligan. You get a mulligan. Hey, you messed up. Try again. Can you see God doing that to Cain? This is Cain, the guy who killed his brother later on. This is Cain. He had a bad attitude. He had a bad way called the way of Cain. He had this bad way, this bad attitude. And God says, "Hey, Cain, let me give you an offer here. Here's an offer. Why don't you try again?" That's huge. Maybe God's doing that to you. Maybe God's saying, "You blew it. You blew your first marriage. Why don't you make this one work?
Amen.
You think God's that way? Oh, yeah, God's that way. I think that's amazing. I think that's fantastic. God gave me a second chance. Wow! Wow, God gave me a second chance lots of times. God will give you a second chance. You know, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time.
Amen.
The second time. He came again. Let's try again, Jonah. You can get the seaweed off your head and try this again. It's going to work out this time. God's doing that to you, guys. God's telling you, look, you messed up all kinds of things in your life. Try again. Start over. Say you're sorry. Take responsibility. Say you're wrong. Come back with a different attitude and say, let's do this again. Lord, thank you for giving me a second chance. Let's do this again. And you know what God says? You'll be accepted. Get it right this time. You'll be accepted. Wow. God has no compulsion to do that. Nobody can make him give you a second chance. He doesn't have to do that. You know how big that is? That's huge. I don't know what you've done in your life, but God is saying, why don't you just admit it, confess it, give it to me, and start over.
Amen.
Clean slate. Wash away your sins with his blood. Put them on the mercy seat and say, done.
Amen.
Start over. Absolutely free from sin. Clean, start over. That is such a big opportunity. And you're so angry at God and so insistent on your way of thinking that you just let it go right by. He says it and you didn't notice it. He says it and you don't even answer it. It's like you just didn't notice it. How is it possible that you're not listening to God's word when he says, hey, let's do a do-over here. Let's start over. Let's start from scratch. Did you know the Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them? How long has he lived? How long has he gone on? How long has he put up with you, not imputing your trespasses to you?
Amen.
So you can start over.
Thank you, Lord.
So you can be reconciled.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Do not be missing your opportunities. Cain couldn't care less that he had the opportunity to start over. He was still angry. He was still upset at God. He was still depressed. He was still irritated that he didn't get the respect that he deserved. I don't know what exactly was in his mind, but that's called the way of Cain, and you don't want to go down that road. Change. Turn around. Say, listen to God. Listen to God. He says, come unto me. Let's reason together. Let's think this thing over. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. We'll just clean you up. You fell in the mud ditch and I can clean you up. You got yourself messed up. But I can clean you up, man. I can make you like new. I can make you dip in that River Jordan and you'll come out with your baby's like a baby's skin. That's how you're going to be. You're leprous right now, but I can make you clean. That's what God is saying. It'll be clean. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't be like Cain. It didn't work out for Cain. All right, there's one more thing that you notice about Cain. He had a satisfaction. He somehow made himself satisfied without God. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. He could handle it. There's a lot of people who feel like they can be okay without God. God says one thing you don't like, you don't need God. You can just say he doesn't exist. That's really silly, but you don't need God in your life, right? You don't need the Bible. You don't need your parents' religion. You don't need that stuff. You go out and live your own life the way you want, and it's going to be okay. And it is okay for a little while. I mean, even the prodigal son had a pretty good time for a while. It was pretty good. Man, things were going good for a while. And you know, you can get yourself satisfied. You can actually be hanging around a bunch of bums that can't even dress right and haven't bathed in a week. And you're all strung out on drugs and you think you're having the time of your life. You think it's wonderful. You think it's great. You've somehow become satisfied without God. Without God in your life, without His Word guiding you, without His presence with you, without the joy that He gives, without the purpose in life that He offers, you make it all right. Why? Well, because you got friends. You got friends. You got a whole lot of people that'll say, yeah, man, everything's cool. Everything's okay. Everything's cool. We're going to be friends forever. Boy, but that's not true.
Yeah. Amen. Preach, brother.
Somehow people get themselves satisfied without God. And I got to tell you something. I cannot think of a more depressing thought than me living the rest of my life
Amen.
Out of the will of God. Without God's fellowship, without God's counsel, without God's people. That's a horrible thing.
Amen.
But somehow people get in that way of Cain and they say, I can handle this.
Yes, sir.
I don't mind the destruction that drugs give me. I don't mind the self-destruction that my fornication's done to me. I don't mind all the pain and the heartache and all the You're going to grow old someday and you're going to be all alone. And you're still going to be satisfied without God. You say, no. When I get old, maybe then I'll give my life to God. No, you won't.
Right. Amen.
No, you won't. Your conscience will be seared. You won't be able to Amen. Well up a tear for your sins.
Amen.
You lose all feeling.
Amen.
The Bible says they're past feeling.
Amen.
Past feeling. You can't even shed a tear. That's what God says. He says, I look down on men and He says, there's not a one that says, what have I done? What have I done? Not a one. He says, something's wrong with that. And why? Why? Because they've made themselves okay without God. They have all kinds of things to fill the gap. They just fill the gap with parties. And you know, there are people that do that.
Yes,
go from one party to the next.
Yes,
one party to the next. They can't get enough parties. Yeah, I know. I have people that work that way. They say, what are we doing on the weekend? What's going on? What are you doing on the weekend? I'm going to church.
Amen.
They just go to the next guy. Well, what are y'all doing?
Yes, sir.
You're welcome, by the way. You're welcome to come with me. It's almost like a party. I'm telling you, man. Hey, some people can just fill the gap. Did you know that television fills the gaps for a lot of people? They go home and watch the tube. They got the little remote. Click. Click. Fill their entire life with that. They fill their entire life with that. They don't need God. As long as they got television. I mean to tell you, man, The Voice. Family Feud. Wow. Wheel of Fortune. We just go from one to the next. We don't need God. You don't have to have the Bible. You don't need the Bible. What a pitiful life.
Amen.
You do that until you get old. Same old thing. Same old thing. We get to work on Monday and they say, well, what'd you do on the weekend? Same old, same old, same old thing. Every weekend for the rest of my life, same old thing. Don't need God at all. It's the way of Cain. Cain got satisfied. You know, you read about his descendants. No mention of God. Not in their lives. No. When you find out about Seth, they started calling on the name of the Lord. You know, they had a few revivals. Did you know there were revivals back in those days? That's when men started calling on the name of the Lord. I mean, there was some movement. God was moving on people. Things were changing. God was talking to people. God talked to me. I didn't hear him in a voice, but oh man, when he came, that light, it cleared some things up for me. And I just appreciate that. God, thank you for showing the light on me. But some people never get it, and they don't miss it. How can you be satisfied without God? How can you be satisfied without God's Word? How can you be satisfied without knowing what the purpose of your life is? And that you've got something to do in this life? You got something to do for God. Some usefulness for God. And if you don't have that in your mind, you don't have, then you're living for nothing. Nothing. If you're not living for God, you are living for nothing.
Amen.
There's a lot of people like that. They've gone in the way of Cain. Now I want you to notice God's attitude during all of this. This is the way of Cain. And there's an awful lot of it going around today. Woe unto them. They've gone after the way of Cain. They've gone in the way of Cain. They like that way of Cain. And Cain's got a lot of followers right today. And I'm talking about churchgoers.
Yes, sir.
People who go to church.
Yes, sir.
But they're following Cain's advice. They have his attitude and they like his way. But look and listen to God. This is amazing to me. First of all, notice God's attitude. He was wondering. He came and said, why? Now, it's not like he didn't know why. He knew why. But it still seems to me that he's saying, I can't relate. I just can't relate, Cain. I don't get it. Why? Why are you depressed? Why are you angry? I've had to actually ask people that, and when I wasn't the one that was angry, I've had to say, well, what are you so angry about? Why are you upset? What's the big deal? So what? Well, God comes to Cain and says, I can't relate to your... You know, I think there's a lot of things God can't relate to. I don't think he can relate to fornication. Amen. He's thinking, why? Really? That's what you wanted? I'm sure he can't relate to covetousness. I mean, because it's just stuff. It is just stuff.
Right.
I mean, you feel, even me sometimes, I wonder about my covetousness. I look around and I think, what in the world was I thinking?
Amen.
I used to collect nuts and bolts. If I saw a nut or a bolt on the ground, I'd pick it up, put it in my pocket, carry it home. And now I have buckets of old nuts and bolts, sorted by size, so I can get you what you want. Millimeter, standard, 3/8, whatever you want, man. I got it. What a picture of covetousness. I can see God saying, Bill, I cannot relate. Why don't you let Home Depot store your bolts? You go get them when you need them. I mean, it's only like half a mile away, you know. Well, God cannot relate. Can you just see God? He wonders, why? Why do you smoke? Now, don't get me wrong. You want to smoke, go ahead. But I can just see God saying, why? Why do you gamble? Why do you drink? Why do you like marijuana? Why do you get tattoos?
Yes. Amen.
I mean, I even ask those kind of questions sometimes. What was the point? Why cuss? Why do you got to use Jesus' name in vain?
Amen.
Why? What's the point? What's the reason? Next time somebody does that, they say, Jesus Christ, and they're not asking him for blessing, and they're not blessing him. They're just saying, Jesus Christ, because they had nothing else to say at the moment. Just ask them, why? Why Jesus Christ? Because they don't know. None of them know. They say, well, it's just an expression. Well, get a different one.
Amen.
Say, Bugs Bunny. Just every time you get upset, say, Bugs Bunny. Why not? That's just as good as far as I'm concerned. I don't, you know why? I guess what they're thinking is that it offends people. Maybe they're wanting to be offensive. Maybe they're being defiant. I don't know. But God is asking, why? Why are you like you are? Why do you act like, why are you rebellious like that? Why do you keep doing that? Why are you acting that way? Why? God was wondering. There's another thing, and I'm trying to hurry it up. God was willing. That's pretty significant, guys. He was willing. I'm willing. He says, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. What a big promise. Hey, just turn around and come this way. God will make up the difference. Boy, he'll just come a-running like that father did to that prodigal son. Come a-running! He was running, man, he was running. Only time God ever got in a hurry. He saw a sinner repent and was coming home. And he gets out of that house and runs.
Thank you, Lord.
Falls on his neck. Kissed him.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
God was willing. He said, you'll be accepted. Hey, guys, I'm willing. Come unto me, he says. Come unto me. I'll give you rest. Let me say something else. He was warning. He's warning you. Hey, This is going to happen. That's going to happen. This is not going to turn out well. He's warning. He's warning you for your own good. God is constantly warning Cain. He's warning the Cains in this room. He's warning you. He's saying, don't do that. Don't be that way. Don't shack up. Don't be covetous. Don't be angry. Don't be this way. He's warning you. This is pretty big on God's part, I think. And there's the last one he was wooing. Look at the incentive he gives. He says, if you'll just do this, go ahead, go to that trouble, do this. Admit you're wrong. Maybe go apologize to your brother for all your... You might have to apologize. But you admit you're wrong, you confess your sin, and you do it right. And he says, his desire... Because I think that was part of the problem with Cain, in that Cain was irritated that his younger brother had gotten the nod and he had gotten rejected, and that just kind of bothered him. I mean, it doesn't say that he was the firstborn, but I'm assuming that he was, and whether one way or the other, he didn't like that it was his brother. And God says, but let me tell you what it'll do. He says, if you'll do it right, he says, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Can you see God trying to persuade him? Come on, Cain. Let me show you what it's going to be like if you will accept it. Now, I want to tell you, God giving you room to repent, God giving you some space so that you'll have a chance to repent, that's a huge mercy of God that he does not owe you, but it's huge and you should not throw that away. But what about when God is actually trying to talk you into making the right decision? He's wooing you. He's inviting you. He's actually trying to make it attractive to you. He says it's going to work out for you the way you want. It'll be better for you. Did you know that if you got saved and gave your life to Jesus Christ, it would be better for you? Amen. You'd have a better life right now. Amen. You might not be as rich, but it'll be a better life. It's going to be better. Can you see God saying, can you imagine your old age if you were given to me? Can you imagine your children rising up and calling you blessed? Can you imagine that? God's saying, it'll be better. Give up your sin. Give up your trash. Give up your stupid arguments. Give up your false religion. Give up your idolatry. Give up your loves and your infatuations. Give up your junk and take my treasure. Let me show you how good it'll be. Let me show you how wonderful it'll be, how rich your life will be. Let me show you the blessing that you'll get. Let me show you. Let me talk about fellowship. Let me talk about joy. Let me talk about rapture. Let me talk about heaven. Let me talk about God serving you forever. Let's talk about some really... Jesus is wooing. God is wooing Cain. Cain didn't care. That's the way of Cain. But you don't have to go Cain's way. You can make a different decision. You can say, God, I don't want to go Cain's way. I don't want to be angry. I don't want to overreact. But I especially don't want to miss out on the opportunity to repent. And man, God, if you're going to woo me, you're going to call me, you're going to beg me. Do you know the Bible says God's begging? We, as ambassadors for Christ, beseech you in the name of God, reconcile yourselves to God. God is begging you to come back to Him. Those are some powerful things that God's doing for Cain. Don't go in the way of Cain. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Make Him yours. We're going to stand and we're going to sing number 247. Let's go ahead and sing the whole song. If you want to get right with God in some way, you're welcome to come forward and pray to Him. Make an acknowledgement to Him. If you want to talk to me, I'm at your service. I'm not too busy for you. Come and talk to me. 247.